P-minus 83. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. When the news came in from Timo that Mesut Demir's images and footage from Dortlu Tepe had been stolen, the mood in Birchwood soured. To some extent, having something to be angry about and something new to worry about brought an ironic kind of respite from the incessant concerns about why Dan and Tara weren't back yet and how much longer William Godfrey could silently watch chaos deepen across the globe while he waited for Dan's return. Godfrey, for his part, was utterly outraged to hear that security at the Buenos Aires Gravison had been so woefully compromised. He had little doubt that John Cole was responsible, given the Prime Minister's recent public moves to position himself as a challenger for the ICA's chairmanship and his penchant for opportunism. With Godfrey out of the picture following his sudden abduction the previous afternoon, no one in Birchwood was surprised to learn of Cole's attempt to land some unanswered blows in an effort to make himself look like a messenger of truth. Emma and Godfrey immediately tried to dive into damage limitation mode, hardly even wanting to think about what would happen if Cole was to irresponsibly leak the images. Within a few minutes, the decision-making duo agreed that they really couldn't afford to wait much longer for news from New Caer Glen before it would become necessary to preemptively make some kind of announcement about the discovery at Dortlu Tepe. Mesut himself had been due to reveal everything to the ICA's executive committee before Godfrey was unceremoniously removed from the equation, but the fact that he hadn't meant that no one outside of Dan's inner circle and whoever Cole had already included in his theft had any idea what had been found. No one in the wider world was aware that evidence of a second extraterrestrial race had been discovered, and Emma and Godfrey could only be grateful that Cole, at least, had no way of knowing about the devious architect's actions on New Caer Glen, and particularly the disdain in which they held humanity. At this stage, both of these points fell into the realm of assumption rather than concrete knowledge. But even after racking his brain for several minutes, Godfrey couldn't conceive of anyone other than Cole who would have been willing or able to pull something like this off. The motive was obvious, and the methods plausible, with the only remaining question being that of how exactly he knew that Mesut had something worth stealing. Chip, a man with a sharp mind for the shadier side of business dealings, if not any political experience of the kind Godfrey had earned over a span of several decades, inquired on this point as soon as it entered his mind. Godfrey answered quickly, acknowledging that it was a good question, but succinctly explaining that Masood's arrest, along with Billy Kendrick, had sparked something of an international incident, and that Cole, like other delegates, had known Mesut was in Buenos Aires without quite knowing why. There was no way Cole could have known what he was going to find in Mesut Demir's safe, Godfrey insisted, but it was easy enough to understand why he might have thought there would be something worth looking for. Godfrey also shared his belief that Cole's man, or men on the inside, were unlikely to have intruded only on Mesut's room while the hotel was locked down, and that he wouldn't be surprised if other sensitive information was now in the world's least safe pair of hands. Of course, anyone else who's had something stolen is unlikely to come to us as quickly as Mesut did, Godfrey lamented. So in that regard, it's a waiting game to see what the idiot makes public. He might even have something of Slater's, though part of me thinks she wouldn't be too proud to let us know, or to let Emma know, in any event, seeing as she doesn't have any more idea of where I am than anyone else does right now. While the adults discussed the theft and more specifically its potential ramifications, Piper McCarthy loudly babbled in request for a toy that was just out of reach from her playmat. If only she could talk, Godfrey mused while Clark helped the baby. There's so much going on in that mind of hers. The bottleneck is her current inability to express it. I know you've heard a few more words via the patches than she's able to enunciate clearly, but from what I've heard of how the patches work, it seems like that's all still limited by her brain's linguistic acuity. The patches only let us hear what's on the tip of each other's mental tongues, don't they? If there was...
What about that other kind of patch? Chip Petrovich chimed in.
He turned to Emma, an excited look crossing his face.
At my place, Leisha deep-dived into the intruders' minds, remember?
I didn't know what was going on at the time, but now I know he used a special red patch to fully explore their memories. It was more like a search engine, right? Not just reading what's on someone's mind, but seeing everything that's in it. Can we reach the other alien, Sacco? If we can, couldn't he use one of those red patches on Piper? Emma scratched her chin in thought.
Using that patch takes a lot out of them, she said, remembering what Leisha had told her. It's powerful in a way even they aren't used to.
But Chip could really be onto something here, Godfrey offered. If Sacco was able to communicate with Leisha across this new gate, he would have been here to update us by now. That's 100% guaranteed, isn't it? When Godfrey looked between Emma and Clark in deference to their firmer knowledge of the messenger's behaviors and thus their better qualified positions to determine how Sacco would act in such a situation, he received two reluctantly confident nods. Okay, he went on. But what if young Piper here can still sense something from Dan, even when he's on the other side? It would only take a moment for Sacco to know either way. There would be no need for him to endure pain for anything like the length of time Leisha did when he was deep diving on those scoundrels in Denver. No need at all. It would be a quick in and out, just a peek, and we'd have something to go on. Emma was clearly giving it some real thought. The status quo is self-evidently unsustainable, Emma, Godfrey said, now pursuing the idea with something close to a relentless insistence. If we knew what was going on with Dan, I could return to public view without the risk of making things worse. Given how badly things are going out there, we're reaching a point of urgency. Is there anything at all we can do to bring Sacco here? You and Clark know him better than I do.
We don't have a reliable way of getting his attention, she sighed. He's clearly not paying much attention to Earth, which tells me there could be unrest on New Kerguelen about this too, which would hardly be surprising. And since we can't beckon Sacco at will, I think Chip's idea of deep diving to see what Piper might know about Dan's situation is off the table, even if it was a good one. We just don't have the kind of uplift patch we'd need.
Very conspicuously, intentionally conspicuously, Clark McCarthy cleared his throat. Yeah. About that...